Meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you all for joining the Latin Generation panel call on the 28th of March, 2019. In the call, we have Bill, Matt, Michael, Marjana, Pitinan, and Vermont. Over to you, Marjana.
Well, last time we started to review homework from Brussels, and we have finished some of them. I have written somewhere what we are missing. Review-based character analysis. So we have finished the homework from Michael, me, Bill, and we should review homeworks from Hazen, Michael, Dennis, and Matt. Sorry, Pitinan, I was not prepared. Could you send the first one on the screen? And please put the link in the chat room so that everyone could.
Sure. I'll send it for Hazen. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. We should review homework. If there is anything for further discussion, we have opened the list with the documents which should, with the code points which should be reviewed again. And now, at least we can try to finish today this review of our homework and see what will be our next step. Okay, first we have on screen Hazen's homework. Let me see, because just a moment. No one is raising the hand, okay. Let's see what. Okay, that's it. So, first we have the critic breve. Will you move on a little bit? What was the result of breve analysis? Those are the letters which reduce. Just a moment. The representation of the breve and the caron in letters A, G, and U are distinguishable and undistinguishable in number of fonts. And this is, we have the picture with letters where those two diacritics are not distinguishable. So it seems, Let me correct if I'm wrong, that we have to put caron and breve again on our list for further discussion and similarity review, whatever we shall call the future steps. Any comments? No. So, Bill, please, you are making this list. Please add breve and caron in letters A, G, and U.
Yes, ma'am.
For further reviewing. Let's go a little bit on. Pitinan. The next one, yeah, this is G and probably U at the end. Okay. Next diacritic is dot below and comma below. And let's see what Hazen has found. The representation of dot below and comma below in letters F and C are distinguishable in a number of fonts. The two are consistently different. Okay, this is, but those two letters with diacritics below should probably be investigated further with how is this called? Sorry, my brain is not working in the full strength. So we shall have With underlining, sorry. I was looking for a right word in English. So, but they will probably be reviewed further in the scope of underlining. We haven't done it yet, but from this conclusion is that they are distinguishable in this investigation. Let's go further on. Empty. Okay. Base character evaluation. We have letter Z and letter S, whatever it is pronounced, and see what is the result. Glyphs are in a large number of words. Two letters are constantly different. So that's it. Do we have anything else? It is the end of the document. No? Oh, we have more. Letter J, letter L with ogonek. How it looks. Glyphs are distinguishable in a large number of fonts. Two letters are constantly different. So that's also another conclusion. Okay. Let's go further on. Diacritic stacking evaluation. Letter A with breve and hook above. Okay. It seems that they are properly positioned. Let's see what was the Hazen's conclusion. Is this the end?
That's the end.
That's the end. But it seems that there is no conclusion here. It should be added Hazen. Hazen is not here. Okay. Should we just make in Hazen's homework, because all those homeworks should be the part of some appendixes in our final report. So it should be some kind of conclusion here. So in Hazen's homework, I'm just writing to give conclusion about diacritic stacking. Our report will be probably 300 pages or something like this. Okay. That's it. So Hazen, we finished Hazen's homework. We have found two diacritics which should be investigated further. Am I correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, and this one with underlining. So underlining is a different topic, but all the letters with the diacritics below should be investigated in this process, in this reviewing of underlining. Okay. Titina, could we make have another one?
Shouldn't we?
Yeah, please.
Liana?
Matt, yes, please. I didn't see that your hand is up. Yes. Go on.
Yes. So I don't think we should talk about diacritics here. We should talk about the specific pairs of characters that we have compared. So the A, letter A with breve and A with caron.
Yeah.
Et cetera. So there are three pairs there, which
okay.
We see as candidates for confusion.
Okay.
Instead of talking about the diacritics.
Sorry, that's the problem because I'm trying to guide this session because Dennis is not here. Thank you for your correction, but I think everyone understands what was my intention. We just need to pass through all these homeworks and see if there is anything which should be investigated After that, in some other processes, maybe my language was not correct. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Matt. Sorry. Okay, thank you for this correction. Do you want to leave this? Maybe you will do it better than me, Matt.
No. It was no criticism, Brianna.
You don't understand me. I don't think it is a criticism. It is a problem in my head with all this stuff about variants, and everything is mixed in my head, and I think someone other might read it better. I have no, I didn't feel criticized.
Okay,
Don't think so.
No, thank you. Because that's what I meant. So I just meant that we should not talk about the diacritics, because there are more letters with the diacritics that we don't consider.
Consider
these three pairs and not the other ones with the
which has the same diacritic, but they don't have their pairs. They have no pairs. Okay. It is a little bit blurry in my head still, but please correct me if I'm saying something wrong. But I think the conclusion after this Hazen's homework is that we have to consider two more pairs of code points in the process which will follow. That was the main purpose of this reviewing of all this homework. Which one we have now?
I think we have Bill's hands up.
I don't see.
It disappeared suddenly. I was just going to say, for the purpose of taking notes, we can simply say, okay, we have to look at this pair of diacritics. When we actually get to making a list of things to look at, we will, of course, list the various letters with those diacritics that we're looking at, but it's sufficient for a working document to just know, okay, we need these two pairs of diacritics looked at, and then we can get to the specifics when we get to that point. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Bill. Thank you very much.
Okay. So I'll move on to the next one.
Michael's homework. Okay. We have now Michael's homework.
I suggest that Michael could lead us.
Michael, do you want to lead us through this? Michael? Oh, he doesn't hear us, or he has problems with the connection. Michael, are you with us? No, he has probably some problems with communication. Okay. Let's go further on, but when he appears, we can ask him to lead us through this, because at this moment he is not responding.
Okay.
Okay.
Sure. Do you want to go through Matt's homework first then?
No.
Okay.
Okay. Matt, what are you saying, Matt? Nothing.
My homework.
You want to analyze your homework before Michael's?
That was the suggestion from Peterman.
What do you think?
So I think we should continue with Michael's since we have it here.
Yeah. And if something appears that should be clarified, we can take a note and ask Michael after. Okay, we have acute above versus dot above. We have a list of letters with those two diacritics. Let's go on further, a little bit forward. Okay. Let's see which we have. We have C. Okay. E.
So my, I have a question there. Does this mark here, the blue line around, do we think that this is what he thinks are confusable, examples of confusables?
Let's see, maybe he has some kind of conclusion. If there is nothing after that, yes, those are the findings. No variance pair are warranted, whatever it is pronounced, but we have a following pair, because the representation of the acute and the dot above in these pairs are distinguishable in number of fonts. In London, to put the critics are consistently different. Probably he marked some of them, Michael. Oh, he's trying to dial in again. So he lost the...
Yes, I'm connected again. Sorry, my telephone line completely dropped. Thanks, I'm back now.
Okay. Do you have Adobe Connect too, or you are just on the phone?
No, I'm on Adobe Connect too now. Again.
Okay. Will you be so kind to drive us through your homework? Because I'm not. Let's hear first, Bill. What you have to your hand is up. Let's hear what Bill wants to say. Yeah.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think the with the dot above and the acute, much like with the Breva and the Caron, yes, it's possible to see the difference if the font is big enough, but if you look at them in the normal font size, I think we ought to review them for visual similarity as well, just as we are with the Brevin Caron. Thank you.
Michael, will you please, you have heard that Dennis is not today with us, so
yes,
you
I
be-
understood.
So
I can
kind
take
to
the document.
Yes, please.
Okay. Did I understand correctly that while my telephone line was dropped, you were until the complete discussion for dot above and acute and above? So now we're at spacing evaluation. Is that correct?
No, we're still
No. We are still on dot above and acute. We
oh, okay.
just
okay.
went to
okay.
the end of this this part to see what are your findings. And
okay.
We have heard what was Bill's opinion, so please,
okay.
I want you
so,
to... Yeah, please.
Thank you. So, in summary, I concluded that no variant pairs were warranted in the case of dot above and acute above. I have made three sets of comparison, no, four, I think, because this is what this were the actual variant candidates which yielded based on the repertoire. So this was C with dot above or acute above, E with dot above or acute above, N and Z. I've highlighted those cases in they are encircled in graphics in blue, underlining or highlighting, where I thought they were more or less a bit more similar. But all in all, I found that, for me at least, they were both conceptually different, and I don't also think that there will be much ground for visual similarity. So, yes, I think they are different enough. Okay. Any comments on this beyond what Bill just said?
Bill, your go on, please.
Yeah. I think for completeness, if Michael wouldn't mind doing it, we ought to include the I and the I with acute as well, since the acute replaces the dot above the I. Since we're going to include this with our final document, we ought to have that in there as well. Thank you.
Oh, yes, thank you. That's a good suggestion. I never thought about that. Yes. All right. I can amend that to this discussion. Let me just take note of this. All right. So shall we then continue for
yes,
the spacing evaluation?
Yes,
in that section, I was tasked to compare the sequence or ligature of AE with the two individual code points A and E. And I presented that in, again, a screenshot from WordMark. And if you look at the screenshot, you will find that the sequence AE and AE usually seems to be different enough because there is always a clear spacing in between the two individual code points, which is not present in the case of the ligature and the singular code point, so to say. However, I find that if you look at some of those code points, I'm not always sure in the case of the AE ligature, that is the singular code point, if I'm looking at AE or OE. And so based on this initial analysis, I thought that it needed a separate comparison of the AE ligature with the OE ligature. And to keep it simple and to keep it comprehensive, I therefore added another graphic based on the sequence of AE ligature, singular code points A plus E, as well as OE ligature, singular code points OE. And if you look at that, so if you compare basically the first code point in that graphic with the third code point in that graphic, I find there are a number of cases which I try to highlight here where it is not, in my opinion, possible to tell the difference. So, for example, the last case, the last but one case, the last but five cases. There are several examples. If you take your time to look through the individual font sets and you always compare the first code point with the third code point, you will find that they're confusingly different in my personal opinion. So, therefore, it would be my suggestion that in the case of spacing, we don't actually have a case for a variant relationship between AE as well as the sequence A and E. However, by accident, I stumbled into what I would consider a visual variant, and that is in between AE as well as OE ligatures. That is OOE6 as well as, I think it should be 0153. Yes. Any comments on that?
Matt, please go on.
Yes. We had this discussion at the meeting, the last Brussels meeting in with IT, and what's his name? Michel, is that his name?
Michel. Yeah.
Yes. He sternly argued that there is a strong non-visual confusion between the ligature and the separated letters, and he was very much referring to French. And we know that we can only have one of them. So either we have the Michel variants, or we have these ligature versus ligature variant.
I understand and would like to respond on that, to that. Are there any other comments before me?
Yes, please go on, and then after that we have Bill, and I also want to say something. So please go on, Mika.
Thank you. So I understand and I remember. Thank you for bringing that up, Matt. I believe that the view of Michel is not quite what we should subscribe to, because I do understand that there are non-visual similarity cases in single orthographies. So, for example, in some cases, these are interchangeable in, for example, French or, for example, English. We have discussed cases before. However, the point is that both of these cases are basically variant relationships on non-visual ground, on non-visual grounds, which are limited to singular languages.
And
irrespective of how large these languages are, they are not representative of the whole continuum of the Latin script using community. And from my understanding, we are tasked to create label generation rule set which is representative for the whole continuum.
Yeah.
So unless we find a significant number of languages where these ligatures and the sequences are interchangeable beyond French and English, it is irrelevant, and therefore we should discuss that in the proposal, say that even though there are these two major languages in which in some cases it is these are interchangeable, this does not impact the entire script-using community. So this is my stance, my personal stance regarding the view of Michel, whoever it was from integration panel who suggested this interchangeability and therefore variant relationship. And secondly, this was not discussed within this particular document and within our analysis because we did not take such an approach. We basically looked at fonts and therefore looked at an indirect representation of non-visual similarity. So it's not here because we didn't look at scripts in that way and we didn't look at orthographies in that way. If we want to look at orthographies that way, we actually going to have to look at basically the orthographic solutions and devices employed across all languages.
Yeah.
Which we have considered for our repertoire, which will be quite substantial work, I think. And I'm not even sure if it's feasible. So there is not enough data on all of these languages. If we want to do that, we should suggest singular cases. Yes. And, yes, obviously, we cannot have both, which is the third point you pointed out, Mats. So either we have a ligature AE and the ligature OE in a variant relationship, or we have a ligature AE, for example, and the sequence of the individual code points as variant relationships. Because otherwise, due to transitivity, all of them will become variants, which would also, by implication, make the ASCII code points A, E, and O variants, which obviously cannot be the case because it would be violate previously existent IDNs. Okay, I hope that was helpful, and sorry if it was too long. Please go.
No, Michael. It was perfect. I completely agree with you. Let's hear what Bill has to say.
I'm up to 3 points. First off, I agree with what I think Michael was just saying, that the AE versus the ligature was outside the scope of this particular homework assignment. Second, I disagree that our criteria should be whether a significant number of languages use it. I think it's more reasonable to look at the populations using it. If we have two extremely widespread languages, I think that's far more significant than if we have two languages with a couple hundred thousand users. And we can, the third point basically has to do with the ligature versus pairs, and I think maybe I'll save that for when we actually get to that discussion, but I do think it's a discussion we need to have, possibly later. Thank you.
Okay. Michael, I completely agree with your discussion. We are now discussing AE and OE, and we find that those two ligatures should be discussed further on the visual similarity. I have another thing to say to all of you, how I feel that we should proceed on. We are completely independent of integration panel. We should do this job in the best way we can do it. I mean, we shall do it as we think it should be done. This document will pass through IP, and after that, we shall have public comments. This is a long process in front of us to finish this document. So, such a peculiar cases like ligature and two code points, I want to leave it for, I just want to ask Bill to make just one note in those problematic tables that these things should be discussed at the end, and now I want to support Michael's proposal that we should include these two ligatures, OE and AE, as candidates for visual similarity review. Any other opinion? Mats, please, go on.
I think that's a good suggestion, but I think that we should, in that discussion, include the non-visual similarity between AE ligature versus AE and
yeah.
OE ligature versus OE, so that we discuss both possibilities in the same discussion because they are so related due to transitivity.
Okay. Yeah. I agree with you because, yes, I agree with you. We should do it together because if we decide to have those two ligatures as visual on Michael just explained that at the end, if we take the both problems and resolve it in the way like Michael explained, we shall at the end have that the two ASCII codes are variants of each other, which is not. Mm-hmm. We have to decide what we shall do. Yeah, I agree with you.
Right.
So. This
and also the question is if one language is enough or not. I mean we have the issue of dogless I, which only affects two languages, and we might let that spill in and affect other parts. So. I'm not sure that we should say that just because it's only two languages, we can disregard the issue.
We are trying to. Thank you. Matt, Bill, please go on.
Yes, I think when we get to that point, if we decide that the AE and AE ligature would be a possible candidate, and we also decide that the OE and the OE ligature would be a possible candidate, since we know we can't do both, at that point, then we can have a discussion about which one is more important and or a closer resemblance. But we can still look at the two of them, because we may look at them and say, well, this one is really is an issue and this other one isn't. But we can, fight our way through that one once we get to that particular discussion. But that's not on topic at the moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Okay, so we postponed this. We put those two ligatures on the list that they should be discussed further, either on the visual similarity ground or depending on the usage on the language. I don't know the right term in English for it. Okay, let's go on. Please, Michael, please go on.
Okay, just one question. Someone else is keeping that list, or am I supposed to keep that list? No.
Sorry, Michael, I didn't hear you properly.
Sorry, I was asking for clarification. Someone else is keeping track of that list.
Yes, Bill is keeping track of all the problematic findings from our homework. So we shall have one list with which is the result of review of this homework. We have all the problems in one table or whatever, in one piece. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, Bill is
okay,
going
so
to
let me
this.
Continue, please.
Yes, please.
So the next section of this document is the base character evaluation part, where I was tasked to compare basically Latin small letter I with the same with the hook on the right-hand side. Now, my conclusion is that the two code points are different in the large number of fonts, and by consequence, no variant pairs warranted in this case. As you can see, there is always something. Even though the code points change in shape significantly across different fonts, there is always something at the top right-hand side which sets it apart from the code point, which is 01B4, I think. So, yes, I think there's an easy case. Any comments on this?
Matt?
Yeah, I have a quick comment. I think that some of the differences that stick out is due to font substitution. So the first row in the top row where you have the error pointing at the Y with hook, I think that it's actually font substitution. I don't think it's the same font.
It should be, I think, the same font, but I did put the arrow to point out that here we have a case where the two letters impose over one another. So the top right-hand side part of the Y laps over into the following glyph. That's why I put the arrow. But
the Y with the hook is a different font there. You have a huge difference. You see it. You have the example on the left. You also see that it's a huge difference. That's also a different font, and that is due to font substitution. And when the glyph is not available in the font that you want to display, it picks it from some other font.
Yes, so, I concur. I agree with them.
And so in most cases here, it seems like the Y with the hook is not even available. So it's not comparable.
it's not widely encoded. If we look at the phones, for example, there are some in the middle. What's the name? FIRA Sense Extra Condensed Thin and Condensed Italic. There you can see that both shapes seem to be encoded. But in a minority of fonts, the character is encoded, it seems. Okay, so any further comments? Okay, shall I continue with the diacritic stacking evaluation, the following part?
Yes, please.
Okay, thank you. So I tried to look at basically the combination of circumflex and hook above and see whether that pin be confused to a sequence of two characters where one has only the circumflex and one has the hook above, because they might be the modifier on top may be displaced towards the left or towards the right in such a way where it becomes confusable. So if we look at, and I've done this exercise for three sets of code points, namely one is the Latin small letter A with circumflex and hook above, followed by a simple A, as well as then the individual A with a circumflex and A with a hook above, for purposes of comparison. And the same I've done for E with those modifiers and O with those modifiers. So if you look at the case of A, I've highlighted and read a couple of cases where I think there are issues there, where you can see that those modifiers are spaced quite differently. So in one case, you can see that it's the topmost case, I think it's called Anton Regular. It's a bit the circumflex on top of the letter, but the hook is pushed to the right instead of above. Then on another one, it actually overimposes on the following letter. And then in another one, it's stacked more linearly over the letter. I've also highlighted some examples in the case of E, and in, where you can also see that different fonts position the modifier in different ways. Please?
I have a comment on A.
Please go ahead.
Yes, because some of the instances you have highlighted, you have this font substitution problem again.
I agree that the Bahayana regular, or whatever it's called, on the bottom left-hand side probably is a font substitution, yes.
Yes, and more of them are font substitution. You can see that the shape of the A is not. So the Alan regular, there you have a font substitution. Alan Bo, all the Alan, I can't even read it, but on the top row, most of them are struck by font substitution. Only the first one, the leftmost, seems to be the same. No, that's not the same font either. So all of them on the first row have font substitution. So it makes it quite complex to decide.
So I'm not quite sure. So it seems that, for example, the 1, 2, 3, the fourth row, leftmost example, Amiri Italic, I think it's called. It seems, for example, in that case, there is no font substitution.
Which one did you say?
Fourth row from the top, 1, 2, 3, 4 row. And the first example, I think it's called Amiri Italic. For example, I don't see font substitution there. So there are some cases where there is no font substitution. However, I agree that, as we can see,
that is definitely a font substitution.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. The shape of the A is smaller in the two middle ones.
Okay, I'm not sure if I recognize that, but if you say so, that's fine. Anyways, I agree that it seems that the simple A, as well as the A with a circumflex above, seems to be encoded in most fonts, but in the case of the first code point and the last, there seems to be a lot of font substitution going on. So, my conclusion is that in a large number of fonts, the two letters are consistently different. However, since the renderings are quite diverse, I would suggest shortlisting them for string similarity, but I would not make them variants. But I do agree that it is more difficult to predict the situation at this stage because the code point is not encoded. Those code points are not systematically encoded across a large number of fonts, probably because they are so rare in use. So I think a string similarity, in addition to the string similarity list for the three code points, may be an advisable solution in such a case.
Matt, do you want to say something?
No, I was...
That's all. Okay. Any other comments? So, Bill, you have to add three more code points for further investigation.
Got it.
Okay. Thank you. Michael, please go on.
Yes. So the next part is the diacritic stacking evaluation, where I was tasked to look at O with a horn and a hook above, as well as U with a horn and a hook above. And again, I compare the two, I compare those code points to sequences of the same base character containing the same as well as an unmodified base character. So in that case, we find that in the case of 1EDF, I concluded that renderings are considerably homogeneous and clearly discernible from adjacent glyphs. That is, in the case of the O with the horn and hook above. I don't find it confusable with the following glyph, and those modifiers never overimpose on the following character. If we then look at the case of 1EED, which is the case of U with a horn above and a hook, we find that the renderings are quite different, and there is a significant number of fonts in which it is not clear whether the modifying hook is actually a modifier of the first character or a left-hand side modifier of the code point following to the right. So if we look at the U, we can see that the horn, which is described as a horn above in Unicode speech, however, which visually is often rendered on the right-hand top side of the U, overlaps into the following character in a number of cases. And therefore, it does become not quite clear whether it's a modifier of the first character or a modifier of the second character. So the point, however, is that there is no U encoded currently which has a left-hand side modifier. Mm-hmm. So there is no potential candidate which may be confused. And this is what I actually try to present a more expanded comparison, where I looked at the graphic below, which presents U with the two modifiers, as well as combinations of those. And there I conclude that the inconsistencies of the rendering should be highlighted in the string similarity shortlist.
And if ever a U-based shape with a left-hand side modifier is suggested for a future revision of the LGR, particular attention needs to be paid to that code point in sequence with one EED. However, at this point, we don't need a variant relationship, I believe. Any comments, please?
I can't remember that I had a similar problem with some code points I have investigated. Also, some of these their critics looked as they belong to the next character, but we concluded that because we don't have we have not any character which has diacritic to the left, that it won't make any confusion, but probably you are right that we have to shortlist somewhere again those characters for future revision. Oh, it will be too complicated. How shall we present it? Okay. I don't know. Your proposal is to highlight the consistency of the rendering, and if a base shape, U-based shape with the left-hand side modifier is suggested for a future revision of it, we should make another table with such cases and put it somewhere in appendix for future revisions of LGR. But I have to find I will do it. The same situations which I had in my homework. So I will do this list for new to LGR of letters with left-hand modifier. So I know what I have to do. Any other comments? No? Is there anything more, Michael, on your homework?
No, this concludes the discussion on this homework, I think. When we look at the comments, there was discussion in between Dennis and me regarding the case we had discussed earlier with AE ligature and OE ligature, where I had a rationale trying to explain why this visual similarity actually exists. And I mentioned alpha, and Dennis said that alpha is not in our repertoire. And I tried to say that, well, alpha may not be in our repertoire, but it's an MSR3, and irrespective of whether we include it or not, it's familiar to users, the character, and therefore people will still recognize it, and therefore the discussion centered more around how to argue for the similarity and less whether it was a similarity or not. So in my personal opinion, the point is mute, but if anyone wants to follow that discussion, you can look at the trail of comments on the left-hand side in that context. Otherwise, I think this completes this exercise. Thank you.
Okay. This is one of the things which we'll find more till the end of our work, but I think that we should focus on our repertoire, and if we find remarks like this one, which I just, with this diacritics to the left side of the character, we could put it as a remark for future discussion if something like this appear. But this is let's focus on our repertoire, on our code points, and try to do whatever should be done to finish it in some reasonable time. Max, please.
Yes, my hand is up. One aspect is what the reader of the report will think, and they may think, but what about something? What about the similarity with alpha or something? So it would be good to include the discussion and point out that this will not lead to any variant because alpha is not included in the repertoire.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, that's good to have everything what we have discussed. We should have included it in the repertoire because people will see that we tried to, that we discussed it and what was our conclusion. That we didn't drop it. That's the main thing. Yeah, I agree with you that this discussion, we should try to find a proper form for it and to include it somewhere in appendixes. Okay, I write it down in my notes. So we are close to the end of 1 hour. We my proposal is that we meet next week again because you see we can do just two homeworks for 1 hour and it should be done as soon as possible to try to make, let's say, next report before to have some results till Marrakesh meeting. We have to produce one new report and send it to IP, and this report should be almost complete. Probably some things will not be perfect in this report, but it will show that we are converging to the end of the whole project. Bill, please go on.
I was just going to say the alpha discussion is a bit beside the point since we have already seen that an A with that basic shape is a matter of font design, so alpha doesn't even need to come into it. Thank you.
Yeah, but we should probably have at the end, when we finish all the important stuff, some points to discuss and to decide what to do with it. Let it be on the list. And at the end, we shall see what will be the conclusion. Mats, please.
I suggest that we plan to meet every week.
Yeah, we have to meet every week to see, to try to do as much as possible, because we have 2 months or something like this. Not 2 months, maybe less. Okay, approximately 2 months to produce one almost complete report. So my proposal is to meet next week, same time. Any objection? No, but there's to object. Sorry, I'm just joking. Thank you very much for being present at this call. We shall see next. We shall discuss further homework next week and have a nice time. Bill, I hope you woke up properly.
I'm awake. I hope all of the rest of you get a good evening sleep.
Yes, of course. Bye, and hear you next week. Bye, and thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you, everyone. Goodbye. Bye-bye.
Bye, all.
Bye.